All right, what's going on, everyone? It's Monday, October the 30th. We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast tonight. This is End Time Headlines. There is two major harbingers that are going to transpire in the coming months of April 2024. Could these two harbingers converging together be America's final warning? That's what we're going to talk about tonight.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everyone? Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scaparello, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. If this is your first time joining us on any platform in which you're able to comment in the comment section below, let us know that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. As always, I want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, please do so. Even after this broadcast, go to your Play Store, depending on your device, if it's Apple, Android, whatever the case may be, download our app. You guys are listening by Apple or Spotify. If you'll just type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. And you're going to see that with the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle of it. Download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you guys are going to be good to go with every thing that we put out, all of our material, our podcasts, our updates, our news, everything. It's going to be right there so you guys can keep informed with that. And again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button. You guys are watching by YouTube and Rumble and even on Facebook. This pushes our material out there on these algorithms. So again, tonight, if you're just joining us, I want to talk about, could these converging harbingers in 2024 be America's final warning? Now, guys, I want to let you know, I'm going to quote a lot of scripture tonight, but I'm not going to put these up on the screen. I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. I will say it slow. I'm going to slow it down tonight because if I put every scripture on the screen, we're never going to get through this in time. I'm going to try my best to get this within 60 minutes because I've got a lot to talk about. In fact, I've got 12 pages of notes, so you guys pray for me tonight. I'm not going to rush this. But at the same time, I'm going to try to make cuts where I can. And again, I'm going to give you the scripture slowly. You can look them up for yourself, but we're going to get into this thing. And I do want to preface this message tonight by letting you know this could very well be one of the most urgent prophetic updates that our ministry has put out in quite some time. When I was putting this together over the weekend, it was literally... it was Saturday night. It was going on. It was about 11:45 p.m. My phone alerted me to, because I get a phone, you know, I get alerts on my phone through news and breaking news and different things. And a story came up, which I'm going to share with you in just a moment. When I began to read the story, it was almost like I got this download. And for the next hour and a half, I was up really late Saturday, early in the Sunday morning, and I was putting all this together. I was confounded by what was being revealed through the research that I was putting together. So I want to share that with you tonight. So again, we're going to start out Luke 21:11 and Luke 21:25. For you guys who are listening to the broadcast on all platforms, Luke 21:11, I'm going to read that, and Luke 21:25. And then we're going to go over to the Old Testament in Genesis 1:14. Let me start with Luke 21:11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be, not a matter of if, but will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to that right there. Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Okay, that's Luke 21:11. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, or we could say the constellations here. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Okay, that's Luke 21:25. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 1:14. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. And again, I know some of you guys that are regulars and you've been with us for many, many years. You know these scriptures, you've heard these scriptures, and a lot of what I'm going to share tonight, you already know that. But I'm asking to please bear with all of our new viewers, people that are babes in Christ. They've never heard this. So this is a teaching moment for them. And this is going to kind of just sharpen your sword a little bit in these areas. Okay. So just want to let you know, Genesis 1:14. And then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. He's talking about he's talking about the sun. He's talking about the moon. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. I want to highlight here signs and seasons. The Hebrew word here for the word sign is a word that means a signal, as in a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, or a harbinger. So again, the word signs in Hebrew, in Genesis 1:14, God is telling us that the things that we're going to see in the heavens, comets, solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, certain alignments of constellations and planetary alignments, these are not just happenstances, but these are for signs. They are omens and harbingers. Okay, and then there's the Hebrew word seasons in Genesis 1:14. It's the Hebrew word modim. And it literally means festivals or appointed times. So from rabbinical interpretation of this and understanding of this, the Hebrew people understood, the rabbis understood, that when Israel would see a blood moon or a solar eclipse that would appear on certain feast days on the Hebrew calendar, this would be a major sign to the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation. These would be signs. So on the feast days or anywhere in proximity to these feast days, these events happen, and it is seen in Israel, these things you need to really be paying attention to. And again, we're going to get much deeper in this, so we're going to go on here. Now, we're going to refresh your memory on some things that has happened in recently, and then we're going to show you some things that's going to happen in the future. Now, as many of you know, and we've pointed this out on several occasions, back in September, in fact, the date of this is right here on the article in which I'm showing you, is September 16th. There was what was called a rare green comet that was seen in the heavens over the earth. This comet was not seen in 400 years. Now, if you remember in the podcast I did, and we did this with Pastor Larry Ragland, because we went on his program on the Kingdom Intelligence Report, which we're on there the second Thursday of every month. So this was the second Thursday of September. We got on there and I pointed out that this comet was majorly significant as a harbinger because there was too many factors in it. Number one, it was spotted by an amateur astronomer. NASA didn't see this. None of their sophisticated equipment caught this. It was caught at the last moment. It was green and it had not been seen in 400 years. I pointed out again, most of you guys know this, but again, for the new people that has not heard this, we pointed out how green is significant because green is the color of Islam. It's the color of Muhammad. It's the color of Hamas. And the green is seen in a lot of mosques, even in places like Saudi Arabia and different locations. Green is majorly significant in the Islamic religion. Also, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the black horse, the red horse, the white horse, and your Bible calls it uses the word in the Greek It says it's a pale horse. John calls it a pale horse in our English translation, but the Greek understanding of this, the Greek alliteration of this is it's actually chloros when you look it up, and it means green. So you have the black, the white, the green, and the red, which are all happen to be colors of major nations of Islam and Middle Eastern nations. And it's the color of Palestine. So I knew when I saw this comet, all the significance of it, the timing of it, the color of this, it had not been seen in 400 years. 400 is a number that's significant because it was the number of, it was the fullness of times of the captivity of Israel. Remember, there was a prophecy that Israel would go into 400 years of slavery and bondage under the Egyptian Empire, and then they would be set out. So it's a number of transition. So I knew this was going to be huge. And then here we go, fast forward, literally a month later, and Israel, it is in an all-out war with Hamas. All right, now I'm going to take you to something that's going to happen in April. April of next year, 2024. Look at this headline, quote, massive devil comet with an ice volcano and horns will light up the skies over the earth. Now I need you to really be paying attention here. This comet was first discovered in 1812 and has an orbital period of roughly 71 years. Now, according to the report from FoxNews.com, this comet is twice the size of Mount Everest. It is hurtling towards Earth. But according to the reports, it likely will not pose any threat to humanity. So don't, if you thought that I was going to come on here and tell you that this was going to be wormwood, no, that's not the case. It is not going to pose any threat to humanity, according to astronomers. However, something that I find extremely interesting is here we are again, guys, another comet that just appears out of nowhere in the heavens. And they have named this comet 12P-Pons-Brooks, again, named after those, obviously, who discovered it. Now, again, I want to point out something to you. Quote, the so-called Devil Comet was first discovered in 1812 before it was spotted again in 1883. Interesting. 1812 and 1883. Now, this is what captured my attention. I immediately began to do research. And listen, my 15-year-old son is a history buff. He absolutely loves history. I had him help me on some research. We started digging this thing. And this is really what set me on to this message, to know that this is something I think that we need to be paying attention to. All right, so I want you to think about this. So here is yet another great and fearful sight from heaven. Good heavens, they're calling this thing a devil comet with horns and an ice volcano that was spotted for the first time, but it's not the first time it's ever been in our solar system, but it's been traced back to 1812, 1883. So I have to ask myself, is there something significant about those dates? Well, in fact, there was. Did you know that in 1812, there was what was called the Great War of 1812, which was fought by the United States, who was involved in a war with the United Kingdom, wherein which there was limited participation by Spain. However, again, the U.S. declared war on June 18, 1812. Also, did you know that British troops in 1812 invaded Washington, D.C.? British troops occupied the Capitol and set fire to many federal buildings, including the White House. To me, this is absolutely intriguing. Now, something else also happened in the same time frame. And that was from December 16, 1811 through March 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest between 6,000 and 10,000 earthquakes in one location of Missouri alone, where there is a major fault line called the New Madrid Fault Line. This was one of the largest seismic events that ever happened in America. Let me talk about how bad it was. According to eyewitness accounts that were eyewitness testimonies of these series of quakes between 1811 and 1812 on the New Madrid Fault Line. Let me read this. Quote, after supper, we went to sleep as usual around 10 o'clock. And in the night, I was awakened by the most tremendous noise accompanied by an agitation of the boat so violent that it appeared in danger of upsetting. Now, there's going to be certain words here. You got to remember this was written back in 1811, 1812. So I will try to use modern vernacular so it won't be as confusing. So you may see me pause and improvise here because some of this, again, some of the language, the terminology and the vocabulary that was used back then may be a little strange to us here in 2023. So just keep that in mind. Quote, I could distinctly see the river as if it was agitated by a storm. And although the noise was inconceivably loud and terrific, or that would be terrifying, that's how we would identify that, I would consistently hear the crash of falling trees and the screaming of animals on the river, but found that the boat was still safe at her moorings. By the time we could get out to our fire, which was on a large flag in the stern of the boat, the shock had ceased. But immediately the perpendicular banks, both above and below us, began to fall into the river in such vast masses as nearly to sink our boat by the swell that they caused. At daylight, we had counted 27 aftershocks. Here's another account. This one is from Eliza, I believe that's Brian. This is from 1812. This account was given in a territory of Missouri. Quote, on the 16th of December of 1811, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we were visited by a violent shock of an earthquake accompanied by a very awful noise resembling loud but distant thunder. Think about this, guys. They're describing an earthquake here, but more it sounded like distant thunder, but it was more hoarse and vibrating, which was followed in a few minutes by the complete saturation of the entire atmosphere with sulfurous vapor which caused total darkness to come upon the land. The screams of the inhabitants was running to and fro, not knowing where to go or what to do. The cries of the fowls and beasts of every species could be heard. The cracking of trees falling and the roaring of the Mississippi. By the way, the Mississippi River was caused to run backward because of these series of earthquakes. This is incredible, guys. Again, so in 1811, 1812, you had this major war that involved America, and you had a major natural disaster, an earthquake that struck the New Madrid. Are you listening to me? But remember, this comet was seen in the first in our galaxy in our solar system in 1812, which again coincides with these two major events that directly impacted America. This is very important that you remember this. But then remember, it surfaced back around in 1883. Well, you know what happened in 1883? In 1883, there was one of the most powerful volcanic eruptions ever recorded. It was called the 1883 eruption of Krakatoa. This is a volcanic island in Indonesia. This volcanic eruption of Krakatoa, which erupted at 10:02 a.m. local time, resulted in the destruction of 163 villages and destroyed 36,417 lives that were killed by a tsunami that was also generated from this eruption. Listen to this. This eruption had an explosive force of a 200 megaton bomb, killing more than 36,000 people. And listen to this, cooling the entire planet by an average of 0.6 degrees Celsius for months to come following the eruption. This eruption, according to research that we did, is also, it also produced the loudest sound in recorded history. When it exploded at 10:02 a.m. local time on August the 27th, 1883, the explosion was reportedly so loud that it was heard 3,000 miles away. Wow, guys, think about that. Where people describe the sound as cannon fire from a nearby ship. The explosion caused two-thirds of the island to collapse and form tsunami waves as high as 151 feet. It rocked ships as far away as South Africa. The awakening of Krakatoa in 1883 was one of the deadliest volcanic eruptions in modern history, and it was second only to the eruption of Tambora in 1815, which killed 60,000 people. Oh, and by the way, one thing that caught my attention was these two events also that did transpire the same time frame as that comet that was also in the heavens, also transpired at the same time this was going on. It rang. Listen, the earthquake that hit the series of earthquakes that hit the New Madrid fault line, although the earthquake took place in the central Mississippi Valley, there was people that felt that earthquake as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. president at that time, James Madison, and his wife, Dolly, noted that they felt the earthquake as far away as in at the White House, and church bells even was rang in Boston from the earthquake. Whoa. So, and then here you go. You have this volcanic eruption of Krakatoa that was so explosive that it was heard 3,000 miles away. Two disasters that transpired in the same time frame as this comet was seen over the heavens. And guys, we have only just began with what we want to share with you tonight. Again, what I'm about to share with you, many of you guys already know, but this is for the sake of the new people here. Comets have always been viewed as harbingers for centuries, and many times they have been preludes to major wars and disasters in the earth. For example, 4 years prior to the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD, the historian Josephus noted that a comet was observed by everyone hanging over the city of Jerusalem for one full year or 12 months before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Scientists, and by the way, scientists, they use this sophisticated equipment. Don't ask me how do they do this, because this is over my head and above my pay grade. But they were able to trace that comet that was seen, think about this, in 70 AD that Josephus was, he saw it with his own eyes and recorded this. Everyone saw it. Again, 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, it was seen in the heavens. Scientists have traced this comet to be Halley's Comet, which, by the way, was the same comet that also passed through in the year 12 BC when Herod was expanding the temple platform in Jerusalem, and then it reappeared again. Again, 12 BC reappears in 66 AD, 4 years prior to the account that Josephus tells you about before the destruction of the temple. Then this Halley's Comet was also spotted 4 years before the outbreak of World War I, and it swung through in 88, 4 years before the Gulf War. August 9th, 1974, there was a large comet called the Kahutik. A comet was seen in our solar system. And in the same time frame that this comet was spotted in 1974, all nine leaders of the European Common Market nations lost their power. Think about it, church. You know what else happened in that same day on August 9th, 1974? U.S. President Richard Nixon stepped down after being impeached. And this was also the 9th of Av on the Jewish calendar, which is the most negative day and time frame in Jewish history. This was the anniversary of the destruction of the first and second temples in Jerusalem. Then we fast forward, we go to 1998. You have a comet named Hale-Bopp. This Hale-Bopp comet was consequently observed on April 27, 1993, which so happened to be the 45-year anniversary to the day of the British mandate that ended over Israel. This comet, Hale-Bopp comet, was also, again, noted by the same astronomers. They said the last time that comet was seen by individuals on Earth was the same time frame that Noah would be preparing the ark for the cataclysmic rain that was about to fall. All right, so guys, I know this is a lot of information, so let's take a break for a second. Take a deep breath. I need you to process everything I'm saying to you. We're talking about harbingers here. We're talking about great and fearful sights from heaven. We're talking about signs in the sun, moon, and stars. We're talking about signs and seasons, Genesis chapter 1. These things are not coincidences. They're not happenstance. They're just not just normal occasions. There is something to this when these things line up the way they are. Okay, so again, here you have this comet that was green, hadn't been seen in 400 years, 30 days later, you have this major war that's broke out in the Middle East that many believe now could eventually lead to the major fulfillment of prophetic events in the future, such as Psalms 83, Isaiah 17, and even Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, I purposely left out some more information about 1811, 1812. Do you know, and some of you guys have already heard this, but for your new guys, in 1811, 1812, not only was there a series of earthquakes that would go down in history that struck America, but the New Madrid earthquakes were preceded, are you ready for this, by the appearance of a great comet. Guys, are you kidding me? So there was another comet which was visible around the globe for 17 months and was at its brightest during the earthquakes. Now, they called this comet the Tecumseh Comet. I believe, based on this latest article that we just pulled up about this comet with the devil horns and the ice volcano, it is very possible, listen to me, that comet was the exact same comet that was seen in our solar system during the same time frame that one of the worst natural disasters struck America, called the New Madrid earthquakes of 1811, 1812. All right, now I know you guys are like, God, you're like, Brother Ricky, we have heard this. You have told us this several times. Listen, again, all of our new people have not heard this. Now we're going to get in this. Now, so we've went past, present, and now I want to bring you to 2024. Ready? So let's land this plane. Let's take this plane home. So here we have yet another comet that's going to be visible in the heavens, and it just so happens, listen to this, that it's arrival time, that it will be visible in our solar system, will happen to coincide with the season on the Hebrew calendar of Passover. Now, I wanted to show you this. I pulled this article up for a reason. This is this comet that's coming, right? Next year. Look at the date of this. It will not hit the earth. So we want to emphasize that this is, it poses no danger per se of striking the earth, all right? But it will be visible from earth on April 21st, 2024. Watch this, where it will be the closest to earth. Now, what's interesting about that is that's literally a day before, 24 hours before we enter into, from April 22nd to the 30th on the Hebrew calendar, the season of Passover, that comet, that sign in heaven is going to take place. But did you know, here's what's interesting, did you know that that's not going to be the only sign in heaven that is going to be visible on the earth in that time frame? Nope. In fact, on April the 8th, 2024, there will be a celestial event called the Great American Eclipse, which is the second projection that will come across the nation of America following the first projected path that happened 7 years prior to that, that took place on August 21st, 2017. Now, consequently, solar eclipses are also seen as harbingers and omens to Gentile nations as signs of war, calamity, and major rise and falls of empires. Let's talk about this for the next few moments. The city of Nineveh historically had a plague 1 year, followed by a war the next year, followed by another plague the following year, and followed by a total solar eclipse that took place on June the 15th, 763 BC. Let me say that again. Nineveh. You remember Nineveh? This was the city that God saw that was wicked, and it was full of abominations, and said that judgment was coming, and he spoke to Jonah to go preach to it. They suffered a plague, they suffered war, they had another plague, and then a solar eclipse. Then the prophet Jonah showed up and called them to repentance, and now we can kind of get a greater understanding of why the entire city of Nineveh repented from the king down, and it's probably because they had seen so many events prior to that. Oh, guys, if you can catch what I'm telling you right here, this is the hope I have for America. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I haven't got to the end of this message yet. But, you know, after you've seen two plagues and war, and then you get a sign in the heavens and a prophet shows up, you would think the whole city would repent. And that's exactly what happened to Nineveh. They repented. Jonah showed up. They repented. Why? Because they had already seen all of these things happening at once. Now, I want you to think about America for a minute. We've had a major plague. We're on the precipice of war. And we've got a major solar eclipse coming next year in 2024 that just so happens that is going to coincide with a great comet called a devil comet that was connected to a major war that America was involved in. Will America repent? I got to move on here. The Ottoman Empire lost its domain across North Africa in the 1800s during a solar eclipse. On June 28, 1914, the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria was assassinated in Hungary, sparking World War I during a solar eclipse. The first declaration of war came after a month of diplomacy on July 28th, and the first conflict was on August 4th. Again, then on August 21st, 1914, a total solar eclipse occurred over the Eastern European nations of Belarus and Ukraine that continued down through modern Turkey and touched the northern edges of Syria and Iraq. Hello, do I have your attention? Ukraine, Turkey, Syria, Iraq. Just, isn't it just interesting that these are the same nations that are involved in major conflict right now, and we're about to see another major solar eclipse. So was it just a major coincidence that these solar eclipses kept popping up and showing in the heavens during major empire transitions, during major wars, during major disasters? Let's go on. There was another total solar eclipse 4 years after the beginning of the World War I, when all the this solar eclipse stretched all the way across the continental United States. You ready for this? You want the date of when this happened? June 8th, 1918. Why is it significant? This was also the same year that the influenza epidemic began that killed 50 to 100 million people. It was the deadliest plague in human history. Then you have May 29th, 1919. There was a total eclipse across the nation of Brazil. This was the same time frame that their president was elected, where his presidency was marked by military revolts. I said revolts. Do I got your attention? Anybody paying attention today? I mean, this, guys, there is so many signs happening and people are just oblivious. They're not paying attention. Just before Alexander the Great invaded Persia, there was a solar eclipse. Even the Crusades, which ran for two centuries, began just after an eclipse, a total solar eclipse over Jerusalem in September of 1093. Then there were several major military confrontations that were preceded by eclipses. Perhaps the most precise coincidence, and I'm using air quotes here for you guys that are listening, was between war and eclipse was in Korea. There was big elections that were planned for May 10th, 1948. One day before the United Nations agreed, it was only going to monitor voting in the South. And on the very day of May 10th, 1948, there was an eclipse over Korea, wherein which violence on the peninsula soon escalated. And by 1950, it was a full-scale war. Are you kidding me? So 2 years before a full-scale war broke out in Korea, you had a solar eclipse over that. And it was interesting that it started in 1948, which so happened to be the same year that Israel was birthed as a nation, fulfilling prophecy. All right, I got to get back to the solar eclipse coming in next year. Here, the trajectory of both of these solar eclipses from 2017 and the one coming in April of 2024 will make an X across America. Many of you guys know this, with the center of the X on two interesting locations. The first location is, now here we go, ready? The New Madrid fault line, where the events of 1811 and 1812 occurred, and seismologists have warned that it's not a matter of if, but when this fault blows again, and it is called the Sleeping Giant. The second location, geographically speaking, where these eclipses will intersect is in Carbondale, Illinois, known as Little Egypt. Now, for the next few moments, guys, go, if you have to, stop and go back and listen to everything I just told you. There is no way that this is all quote unquote coincidence. You have major comets appearing during major transitions of empires, major rises and falls of empires, major conflicts, wars, and disasters. You had the New Madrid fault line, 1811, 1812. You had a volcano exploded it was so powerful that it changed the weather on the earth. It was heard 3,000 miles away. The earthquakes that blew on the New Madrid was heard all the way up into Boston, and New York. Here you have, fast forward, we're coming into the year 2024, and we have this same comet coming through the solar system again. And it just so happens that you have a major solar eclipse that is going to be the second trajectory across America that will form the X over the same location that there just so happened that there was a comet seen 17 months in the heavens above when the New Madrid earthquake was blowing. Now, if you'll remember, I told you also that comet, something else I want to point out to you, that again, the comet that was seen in the heavens above the entire region of the United States 17 months prior to the pneumatic fault line blowing was, again, that comet looks to be the same comet that was in the solar system as the comet that we're telling you is coming in 2024 that's coinciding with the solar eclipse. Again, but here's what's interesting. It may not do nothing for you, but I think it's interesting. I don't think numbers are coincidences and accidents either. So watch this. So you have this solar eclipse in 2017, which was a major solar eclipse over America. And then 7 years later, we come to 2024, where the next trajectory is going to come and make the X. Somebody say seven. Then you have this solar eclipse. Then you have this comet that was seen over the heavens of America, over the Midwest, over America, before the New Madrid blew for 17 months. So somebody say 17. So you have seven and you have 17. 7 years between the two solar eclipses, 17 years that it was the number, 17 months was the number of how long the comet was seen in heavens before the New Madrid blew on 1812, or that it was concluded on 1812. Now, remember I told you there was a comet that they said that was visible when Noah was building the ark. If you go to check this out, this, again, may not do nothing for you, but I thought this was interesting. Remember, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Genesis 8, 3, and 4. And the waters receded continually from the earth. And at the end of the 150 days, the water decreased. Look at verse 4. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And by the way, we just did a podcast, what was it, this past Saturday, where there has now been conclusive evidence that they carbon dated the evidence that was discovered where they believe was the ark in the same location, which is the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. And they have dated it back to when man was there and civilization was around during the time when Noah was constructing the ark. Guys, are you kidding me? 7, 17, 7, 17, days of Noah, a comet, that article that came out. Again, how many more signs do you need? It's like God is blowing every whistle. He's blowing every trumpet. He's throwing out omens and harbingers and signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Everything is going out there. Now, I want to close with this. With everything that's going on right now, with what's going on in the Middle East, all this, I want to show you why I am very, and I cannot emphasize enough the word very. I am very concerned about America's future, and here's why. This was a recent report, guys. Quote, Biden wants a two-state solution for Israeli-Palestinian peace. Is it still possible? Let's read a little bit of this. Israel continues to respond to Hamas' unprecedented attack on its people, bombarding Gaza and preparing for a future, for a ground offensive. So this is a little bit old here because that's already taking place, but that's not what I want to focus on. We're going to skip down here. Watch. This was cited on October 27th is when these statements were made. I want to read this. President Biden said on Wednesday that there is no going back, I don't want to highlight this, to the status quo before October 7th. Now, what is October 7th? That's when Hamas came in and they murdered and they raped and they did all the heinous acts that they did to the Jewish people, killing over 1,000 some odd people and taking all the hostages. President Biden says, quote, there is no going back to the status quo before October 7th. So what does he mean? Meaning, in part, that when the crisis is over, guys, how long is this going to be? Is it going to be a couple of months? Is it going to? Netanyahu said this is going to be a long war. This ain't going to be a short offensive. It's going to be long. But Biden is already telling us, he's warning us, things are not going to go back to the status quo. And when the crisis is over, quote, there must be a view of what comes next. So you guys want to know what comes next? Let's read on. Quote, In our view, this is the United States. I said, this is the United States. It look at this. It has to be a two-state solution. Translation, a divided Israel, a divided Jerusalem. He went on to say that, quote, and that means a concentrated effort for all the parties. Daniel 9:27, a covenant with many. Who are these parties? Israelis, Palestinians, regional partners, global leaders, to put us on a path towards peace. 2 Thessalonians 2, come to mind anybody, for when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them. The two-state solution calls for the establishment of an independent state for Palestinians alongside that of Israel. Again, translation would be to divide Israel for land. Guys, again, why am I concerned about this? The prophet Joel and Zechariah, Joel said that the nations of the world, now this is at the end of the tribulation. This right here in Joel chapter 3, this is going to happen at the end of the tribulation, the great tribulation, where all the nations of the world who have scattered the Jewish people and divided the land. Read it. It's right there in Joel chapter 3. I've got it right there pulled up on the screen. Let me read this to you guys that are listening by Apple and by Spotify. This is verse 2, Joel 3, 2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. Why? Because of the account of my people. That's the Jewish people, Israel, my heritage, whom they have scattered among the nations. Who are they? Well, we're going to see, but we know according to Joel, it's going to be nations, plural tense, that will have a hand in scattering the people. And not only will they scatter the Jewish people, they will divide the land. Guys, do you realize the Jewish people are experiencing things that they have not seen since 1933 and the rise of Hitler? We can't do this today because we're going to run out of time. We're going to do a whole segment this week, so you be watching for it. It'll probably be towards the end of this week. I'm going to show you some absolutely frightening images, videos, and articles proving to you that this Antichrist spirit is alive and well, and we've been talking about this, but what we're seeing that is coming against the Jewish people is absolutely horrific. It's disgusting, but it is absolutely prophetic. Because remember, Joel said, the nations that have a hand in this of dividing Israel and scattering the Jews will enter into judgment. And you know what's going to happen? Armageddon. And then we know Zechariah the prophet echoed the same warning that Joel did. And when he said that Jerusalem would become a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding nations, the peoples of the earth, they will lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, but God will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the people, and those who would attempt to heave it away will be cut into pieces. So what I'm trying to tell you is this is why I'm concerned. I'm concerned as an American citizen for America. Because listen to me real clear. Joe Biden said that when this thing is over, whatever that looks like, whenever that looks like that, he said, nothing's going to be the same again. We're not going back to the status quo. And we, as in the nations, governments, the players, Israel, Palestine, all of them, will push for peace and the division of Israel. Now, guys, we've showed this before, but I believe God has warned modern day watchmen and prophets in the earth that if America has a direct hand in dividing the nation of Israel, whatever that looks like, whatever diplomacy they use that attempts to divide Israel, God will bring judgment. And one of these men is John Kilpatrick. Now, he was an interview on the Jim Baker Show. I want to show you this interview. All right, let's watch this together. Because again, I know we're going over today. It's going to go over an hour, but I'm taking my time because this is one of our most important messages that we've done in a while. So just, you're going to have to bear with it. If you have to pause it, go back and listen to it. Just do whatever you got to do, but we're going to listen to this together. Ready? Here we go.
2008, you had astonishing, a vision, would it be?
I don't dream a lot. But there are times that I know that God's given me a God dream, and this was a God dream, and I'll make it brief. First of all, I dreamed that I was suspended over a river, and I thought it was a river down by my house in Alabama. And I looked at the river, and immediately I was thinking, well, what am I doing looking at a river? You know, it just was a tranquil river flowing. And all of a sudden, that river went out of sight immediately. Just, I couldn't see the bank on either side. It was just like an ocean. And immediately I was taken up and I was transferred into an old school building, like a one big room school building. And I was running through that school building, me and another guy from my church. And that building started bucking like a horse. It just started bucking. To the point in my dream that my teeth was clapping. And my teeth was hurting in my dream because my teeth was clapping so hard. And I looked and I saw that guy flipping around in the room, and I thought, well, if he's flipping like that, I must be flipping like that. And so when the dream was coming to a close, I saw two words, and it looked like these words was on like an old Spanish antique map of antiquities. I saw the word Indianola, and I saw the word Europa. So when I woke up, I was shaking so hard, it was like I had a hard chill. And so my wife, I called her from the other room, and she came in there and held me while I was just shaking. And she said, what in the world, honey? Nice. I said, well, listen, I've had a dream, Brenda. And I said, get on the computer and look up Indianola. So she looked up Indianola, and there were five of them, but two had been destroyed by hurricanes. So there was one in Mississippi, there was one, I think, in Texas, and there was one in Illinois.
Now, guys, listen to this really carefully. Now, think about this. Listen, the sensationists hate this kind of stuff. And again, I don't have time to get into that. People that don't believe that God uses dreams anymore. He doesn't speak to you in visions anymore. They don't believe in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. So they will write this off. They'll laugh at it. They laugh at us. They laugh at people. Think about this, guys. He went to sleep, wasn't even thinking about this, and he saw these, didn't even know what it was. A map showed up. And he had to go research to find out what it was. This is absolutely fascinating to me. And that's how I know it's God too. This was absolutely, listen, if you would ask me, was this man hearing from God? Absolutely. This was not a pizza dream or his subconscious. This was a warning from God. Let's read on, or listen on here.
I saw Indianola. I saw a line going from Indianola that way toward a little dot, a little bitty tiny dot called Europa. The thing that let me know which Indianola it was the way the line left Indianola and went toward Europa. It didn't come from Texas. It didn't come from Mississippi. It was the one in Zion, Illinois. It was the one near Illinois.
Yes.
Near Illinois. And the way the line went from the one in Illinois, it went that way toward Europa, Missouri. Went to the right a little bit, slightly to the right. So when she looked them up on the map and I saw that, I didn't know what it meant. I told a preacher friend of mine that. He called me back later that day and he said, John, I have put Indianola on the computer and I put Europa on the computer. And he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, that line and those two cities is exactly the New Madrid Fault.
Whoa.
He said, that's exactly the New Madrid Fault. He said, this, you can superimpose that line over the New Madrid Fault. So I knew then that the Lord was showing me that it was a New Madrid Fault erupting. That thing was bucking so hard. That building was bucking so hard. I'm 6'3", and it was throwing me around like a rag doll. And my teeth, I couldn't keep my teeth from clapping in the dream. And when I woke up, I mean, for me to be shaking like that, that had to be a God dream. It was not a regular dream.
Sure.
Right.
So I believe, this is what I personally believe. I can't prove this. It's just supposition. I believe that it may be possible that that's on hold.
Listen to what he's saying. It might, that it's on hold.
In the event that America mishandles Jerusalem. If the Secretary of State, whoever that may be in the future, or if the President in the future pressures Israel to divide Jerusalem, and we have a hand in it, I believe the new matter is going to bust wide open and divide America.
Whoa. And by the way, if you want to know what it would look like, let me give you this map. Let me pull this up. This is a map that this is a depiction of what it would look like if this earthquake was to blow in the magnitudes that it did in 1811, 1812. This geographically, what you're looking at is what this whole region would look like. It would never be the same again.
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. I think that's possible. I can't say it for sure.
Right.
And I've done a lot of research. I always research. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. True science backs everything.
Yes.
That New Madrid fault, I don't know if you knew at that time when you had the vision, that was probably the worst earthquake ever to hit the United States of America.
I heard that later.
An unknown area. People didn't know. And now, since then, in fact, today, there was an earthquake on the fault.
Really?
Today, as we're taping this program. Is that right, students? The students have, James, my son, yeah, they found it. But that whole thing has been shaking, that whole area, for months and months now. But Rick Joyner believes that it could happen very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
He's heard your prophecy. Of course, you delivered some things there at Heritage. Mm-hmm. That fault line, as I research science, that's the same fault type that created the oceans that's in the middle of America. And that has the ability. And Rick Joyner says if that happens, the commerce in America, the trucking, everything, America will be divided. The famine, food shortage, everything.
America will be divided. Interesting, isn't it? You divide my land, I'll literally divide your land.
It will be a disaster.
See, I saw that river just immediately go. But
now, that river ran backwards in, I don't know what year it was.
Yeah, it did.
About 1800s, late 1800s, I guess it was, or somewhere there. And that river ran backwards. It rang church bells in Boston. It was beyond comprehension.
Well, you know, anytime we mishandle Israel, or Jerusalem especially. See, in the last days, the Bible doesn't say that Israel's going to be the issue. It says Jerusalem's going to be the issue. Oh. It's the city, not the nation. The Bible says that God will make Jerusalem, not Israel, a cup of trembling to all the nations. Yeah. And that means the United Nations.
Yes.
All nations is the United Nations.
Mm.
And it said that he'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all nations.
Mm.
But, you know, I say this respectfully. I love President Bush. And I backed him 100%, and I still do. I love him and respect him.
Yes.
But when he made Israel give up Gaza,
yeah.
Gaza was a seaside city in Israel of 80,000 people. And whenever they had to leave their homes, there were Jews pulling Jews out of their homes, and they were evacuating by helicopter people off the tops of synagogues.
Yes.
And did you know in a matter of days, New Orleans had a hurricane, Katrina?
Listen to this, guys.
They were plucking people off of rooftops with helicopters just like they were in Gaza a few days before. But of all the places where the water came in into New Orleans was a place where the dike broke called the West Bank.
What?
It was a place.
Wow. Guys, I've got chills.
It's called the West Bank in New Orleans. And when President Bush, in my opinion, when President Bush mishandled Israel, I believe right then his presidency was over. Because after that, he struggled. Mm. He had a struggle making speeches.
That's right.
He couldn't hardly talk.
Mm.
From the time he mishandled Israel. Mm. Let me tell you something.
Oh, and by the way, guys, Ariel Sharon was the president at that time. And he agreed to that. And he suffered a massive stroke. And it took him completely out of commission from that point on. Again, You can mark us off as crazy or weird or whatever you want, but these things, guys, should wake us up and get us to pay attention.
And I really feel led to say this. It's a dangerous thing to be elected president of the United States for
Amen.
One reason. How are you going to handle Israel and how are you going to handle Jerusalem?
Yeah. Whoa.
Makes no difference how you handle Paris.
Right.
Makes no difference how you handle Rio.
Right.
Makes no difference how you handle South Africa.
Yes.
Makes no difference how you handle Iraq.
Right.
But how a president and the Secretary of State handles Israel and Jerusalem mm-hmm. can have major ramifications on that man and this nation. So we've got to make sure whoever we elect president is going to be a friend to Israel and will be a friend to Jerusalem. Got to make sure.
And the world is focused on Israel right now. The armies have surrounded Jerusalem.
Now think about this, guys. Listen what they're saying. It's almost like they're talking about right now. It's almost like if I was to pull this up and didn't tell you the time of the of this original recording, you would think that they were talking about this right now. Think about this.
We're living in this hour. And, you know, after you prophesied these things, we research here. We have my students research. October 30th, 1991, George Bush opened the Madrid conference. Isn't it amazing? The name was Madrid. And aimed at forcing Israel to give up more land. And at that same time, a storm, 35-foot high wave, hit his home.
Whoa.
That's in Bush's New England home. Then August 23rd, 1992, was you referring to it, the Madrid conference moved to Washington, D.C., and that same day, Hurricane Andrew, the worst natural disaster in U.S. history at the time, caused $30 billion in damage, left 180,000 people homeless. And then it goes on. Then President Clinton met with Syria's president for talks on forcing Israel to give up the Golan Heights. Less than 24 hours later, a 6.9 earthquake shook Southern California, second most destructive natural disaster to hit the U.S. And it goes on and on. And 1997, March 1st, and then tornadoes devastated America on these same dates.
Well, did you know last year when President Obama said that Israel must give back the land that they got in the war?
The United States believes that negotiations should result in two states with permanent Palestinian borders with Israel, Jordan, and Egypt, and permanent Israeli borders with Palestine. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps.
Did you know that the week he said that was in May? And I went before the Brown, I went before Church's presence that next morning, the Sunday morning, and I told him, I said, anytime we've mishandled Israel, it costs us. When you're dealing with the church, you're dealing with grace, but when you're dealing with Israel, you're dealing with the law. And it's quick retribution. And so I told the church that morning, I said I'm in fear of what's about to happen. And that afternoon, the tornado struck Joplin, Missouri. That was within 2 days after President Obama said that Israel's got to give back the land they got. They need to go back to the old boundaries. And it struck Joplin. So it doesn't make any difference who we are, what the name of our nation is. If you're dealing with Israel or you're dealing with Jerusalem, you're not talking about grace. You're talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
It so happens to be the heartland of America. I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right? That that Obama was suggesting to divide the heartland of Israel, which is Jerusalem, and then the heartland of Americans get struck by an EF5 tornado in Joplin, Missouri. Then we had the super tornado outbreak that killed over 300 people. Then on August 23rd, 2011, a magnitude 5.8 earthquake shook Washington, D.C. region.
5.8 magnitude earthquake outside Washington, D.C. today, which grabbed the attention of millions on the East Coast. One indication, Twitter counted more than 5,500 tweets per second. So many people were on their cell phones that some service went out. The White House was evacuated, and all the national monuments were closed for safety inspections. Late tonight, the National Park Service reported a crack was discovered in the top of the Washington Monument.
We were pulling into the train station in Washington, D.C., when the station suddenly began to wildly shake. Officers yelling to us and to everyone to get out. As passengers ran to safety, there were immediate fears here that this was something worse.
The ground started shaking, people started screaming, running around.
All of a sudden, everything just shook. Things, a couple of things fell off the table, and then everybody scrambled to the exits.
What we then realized was that millions of Americans had felt the same thing. It was 1:51 this afternoon.
We had to clear from the front of the building.
When that giant rumble sent fear through offices, train stations, entire cities. Our camera at the White House swaying. Helicopters hovering over Washington. The National Cathedral damaged, part of one of the pinnacles falling to the ground. This woman tweeted, "I'm holding a piece of the National Cathedral in my hand." In Northern Virginia, cars smashed with falling bricks. In Baltimore, part of a warehouse collapsed. And in New York, where this country will soon mark 10 years since 9/11, it was the first thing so many people felt in their gut.
It's scary when you're all the way up there, you know, on the 14th floor. It's not easy. You have all these thoughts running through your mind. It's scary.
And in Washington, where the Capitol, the Pentagon, and the train station were all evacuated, it was that same fear that this was something else.
You think about the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, and I don't think you can help but think about maybe some sort of terrorist activities.
Miriam Shadive was one of those workers whose mind was racing for a time. She was in her office building when the quake hit. We met her on the packed subway as she raced out of the Capitol.
First, did you fear what?
Fear the building is going to collapse because I was on the 11th floor. Yeah.
Just happy to be going home.
Yeah, I'm happy to go and see my son.
The 5.8 quake was felt all along the East Coast, from Massachusetts all the way down to North Carolina, and as far west as Chicago. At the moment the earthquake hit, New York City's DA was holding a press conference. You could read it on his face. Workers with the DA's office raced off the platform, the press moving swiftly from the room. This was one of the strongest earthquakes ever to hit the East Coast. One of this magnitude, extraordinarily rare here. Even meteorologists were caught by surprise.
Why is everything shaking? Look at the lights.
It's in an area we call the Central Virginia Seismic Zone, which has historically had several threes and fours. Previously, the largest earthquake we'd seen was a 4.8 back in the 19th century.
The epicenter, Mineral, Virginia, about 90 miles from the capital, where the earthquake was caught by a supermarket security camera. And nearby, another store where the ceiling collapsed.
And then all of a sudden it sounded like a freight train was coming through and the ceiling started falling.
At the North Anna nuclear facility, just miles from the epicenter, two nuclear reactors automatically shut down, forced to use emergency reserve generators for power. The facility built to withstand a quake four times as strong, but experts say this was still a wake-up call in a region not used to this.
By the way, during that earthquake, a report said, quote, I want to read this to you. At 1:51 p.m. on August 23rd, 2011, a magnitude 5.8 earthquake struck 90 miles southwest of Washington, D.C. Visitors inside the Washington Monument's observation deck were thrown about by the force of the shaking, falling mortar, and pieces of stone, which caused minor injuries, though all the people inside exited safely. According to the report, damage occurred throughout the metropolitan Washington area again in 2011. But the Washington Monument was among the significantly most damaged structure. This monument was built to honor George Washington, the United States' first president, which was a 550-foot marble, a tower. It's a tower over Washington. Now, again, I'm sure it's just a coincidence that we had two towers that represented the economic strength of America that were struck on September 11, 2001 and were brought down. And then we have exactly 10 years to the day, 2011, another tower in America that represents the strength and power of America was suffered the most damage of an earthquake that, which by the way was extremely rare, that struck in the Washington D.C. area.
You're talking about swift retribution.
These are 10 events that I don't have time to share with you today. But the big one was when President George Bush pressured Israel to evacuate the Gaza Strip. 8,000 Israeli settlers were forced to leave their homes. Exactly 1 week later, Hurricane Katrina smashed Louisiana. 80% of the city of New Orleans was underwater. And the percentage of the Israeli population that was made homeless by the forced evacuation was almost equal to the same percentage of the American population left homeless by Katrina.
Wow.
This is prophetic. People don't believe these things, but you can't have 10 situations. I mean, the others are just as startling.
Not only is it prophetic, but it's predictable.
Yeah.
It's right.
Predictable. Good. It's good.
And somebody, you know, the president, whoever the president may be, the president really needs to have people around him that can say, oh, Mr. President, oh, please be careful. Please.
So here we are. We have two more signs in the sun, moon, and stars, two more signs in the constellations. We have this comet. We have this other solar eclipse that puts a bullseye on the New Madrid fault line, which has a history of comets being in the heavens when it blew the first time, which, again, I don't want to reiterate all this stuff, okay? And I want to leave you with a dream that I had myself personally. Many of you guys will remember this. On January 29th at 2:08 a.m., and I had a dream in which I was violently awakened, where in the dream I looked at my phone because I heard a notification go off. This is what I was dreaming, that my notification was going off on my phone, and I looked down at my notification, and because I have an earthquake app on my phone that triggers, or it goes off, it notifies me when there's a significant size earthquake, because I use this for ministry. It's a very good app to use here. But in the dream, the earthquake app went off. It notified me because there's a certain notification tone that I have designated for the earthquake app, so I know specifically what that is when it goes off. In the dream, this notification went off. I grabbed my phone and I looked at it, and on there it tells you the magnitude of the earthquake and the location of where which it took place. When I looked at it in the dream, it said a magnitude 7.8 earthquake in Arkansas. Well, when I saw this on my phone, in the dream, I said to myself, my God, the New Madrid has just blown. I remember in the dream I said this because I knew that Arkansas was on the New Madrid fault line. In the dream, my entire house violently began to rock and shake violently back and forth. And then I woke up. Now, what I want to say here is what I didn't know then, and it set me on my research, because the first thing I thought of was, my goodness, is it even possible for Arkansas to produce an earthquake of that size and that magnitude? Guys, what I was absolutely stunned to learn was on December 16th, 1811, at approximately 2:15 a.m., are you kidding me? Somewhere between 7.2 and 8.2 magnitude earthquake struck Arkansas. This was the first earthquake of the series of earthquakes that struck the New Madrid in 1811, 1812. I did not know this, but I found it out when I was researching this, when I had this dream on January 29th at 2:08 a.m. And I was stunned about this. You remember, some of you guys remember me doing this video about this, shook me, and I'm not trying to make a pun about on this, but I was shaken up from this for a week, because I could not believe that I had a dream that was that precise. Not only did it did I have a dream about an earthquake of that magnitude that was the same magnitude on December 16th, 1811, but the time that I had the dream was nearly to the minute of when the first earthquake of a series of earthquakes blew in 1811, 1812. Guys, I want to close with this. I don't know what you're going to do about this video. I don't know what you want to do with this video, but I'm telling you, I know this is a long video. This is a much longer than we normally go, but this was a lot of information. I'm going to leave it up to, I'm going to ask that you pray for our nation. We pray for America all the time on this segment. And being that we've gone this long, I don't want to push the podcast even longer, but we need to be in prayer and intercession for the United States of America. I am greatly concerned with everything that's going on. There is way too many things coinciding together. And I just showed you what's coming in April of 2024 and why we as watchmen, we as people of understanding of the times and seasons, we need to be eyes wide open. We don't need to be woke. We need to be fully awake of what's going on around the world because we're living in trying times and prophetic times. And I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, guys, don't be fearful. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. That's what he said. Listen, I'm going to come on here probably tomorrow night. And I've been blessed to be a part of a revival that's breaking out here in the state of Georgia in my neck of the woods at Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia at Jensen Franklin's church. And I witnessed with my own eyes last night, my 15-year-old son was a part of it. Hundreds, if not thousands of young people that are hungry for God. We are living in treacherous, dangerous times, but we're living in the most exciting times in the history of the world. And it's profound to think that we were seriously born for such a time as this. We are seeing things that the prophets would have loved to seen in their day, but never lived to see about it, to tell about it. But we're living to see their prophecies being fulfilled. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please do me a favor, download our free app. You're going to get messages like this. You're going to get our headlines. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. And whatever device you have, Apple, Android, go to your Play Store, download it today, and hit yes to push notifications. Listen, if you guys would like to support our ministry with a gift of any amount, pray about becoming a partner of it. We ask you to do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on the left of your screen. If you're watching, go to your app, go down to the bottom, hit donate, or you can give again to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, again, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Again, don't forget to subscribe to us on all of our, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on platforms like Rumble, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're all over the place. So again, we would love for you to follow us on these platforms. Again, right there at the bottom, again, that's going to be our landing page, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That way you can bookmark our site. If for whatever reason you don't want to get the app, I don't understand why you wouldn't, but if you don't get the app, at least bookmark our site so you can keep that on hand. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight, but we plan on being back here tomorrow. In fact, we will be back here tomorrow. I'm going to be bringing Larry Ragland into the studio for a great segment. We're going to be talking about the system of Babylon and how it's infiltrated into your home and into your church. So you don't want to miss this segment. Again, that's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.